In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Hear now the word of God. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness to us, for your love and for your salvation, for your ever constant nearness to us. For you are in us and with us. Your Spirit dwells in us and has sealed us as your children. We thank you, Lord, that at every turn, you not only proclaim the gospel to us, but throughout scripture and again, even in something like tithing, you demonstrate that gospel to us before our very eyes and calling us, Lord, to participate, calling us to set the rhythms of our lives by the rhythms that you have established, the very rhythms of salvation to us. Lord, thank you for your goodness. May we come this morning worshiping you, praising you, full of thanks, renewing our trust and our wonder at how much you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we turn our attention to our pledges for the upcoming year, next week, I want us to take a look at the biblical notion of tithing. Now, for those of you who have been at All Saints for a while, I fully expect that and absolutely hope that everything in our study is going to be familiar with you. For you, this study is intended to be a renewal and a refocusing. For those who are newer to All Saints, I hope that you will come to see tithing in a whole new light. That is, I hope you will come to see tithing as what it is, a proclamation of the gospel and as a demonstration of God's amazing love and goodness. And so let's begin. And to do so, I want us to ask two basic questions this morning about tithing. First, I want to ask, what is tithing? And then the second thing I want to ask is then, why does God call us to tithe? What is tithing? Why does God call us to tithe? And so let's begin with our first question. So what is tithing? Well, simply put, tithing is God's command that every believer, rich or poor, stressed out or on easy street, that every believer is to bring 10% of their total income into God's house. Listen to Deuteronomy 14:22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow. It's your income. You sowed, and here's the returns of your labor. Here's the returns. You are to tithe on all of that. You are to surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of your field every year. And notice what God doesn't say. God doesn't say, hey, if it's an abundant harvest, if it's a surplus, you got so much grain, you don't have any more room to keep it in, then tithe. But during a drought, or when there's a blight, or when there's a pestilence or something, then you don't need to worry about tithing, or you can scale back. God says, bring the whole tithe every year. Why? Because harvest ebb and flow. Economies and economic seasons change. They go in good sometimes and bad sometimes. But the faithfulness of God does not change. Your security doesn't change with the economic whims or situations in the world. And so oftentimes we have that reversed, right? We've talked ourselves out of tithing, and so now there's a consequence, right? Because now all of a sudden we see our security as being that which goes on in the whims of the world, rather than having the sure, steady confidence that we know firsthand that the faithfulness of our God does not change, and his love and care for us doesn't change. Our security is in God, and that doesn't alter. Notice in the result, the question of whether God is calling me to tithe or not is not something that I need to agonize over in prayer. Now, sometimes as Christians, we are so dramatic. I mean, we get so silly. And whether it's, you know, I've always said, so to a young minister, so you guys, hey, listen, some of them not so young, but anyway, if you bomb a sermon, and if the service stinks, and people are, you know, they're going to be complaining, just always have those little candles, right, in your pulpit, and then at the end of the thing, turn down the lights, hand them out, and have Glenn play something slow on the organ. Everybody be crying. I don't know what it is. Have a candlelight service, and Christians are just like, oh, we're like, we have this pyro fetish. And God saved us from the flames of hell, but here we are playing with fire in church. Anyway, and so it's so we get the same way with tithing. It's not something dramatic. I've known tons of people that were like, yeah, you know what? I took Monday off, and I'm going up into the mountains to spend some time alone to discern where God is calling me, to discern whether God is calling me to tithe or not. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Listen to me. Tithing is not something you need to agonize over in prayer. Instead, tithing is commanded in Scripture and therefore is already decided in heaven. You don't have to go and discern. God has told you. Is commanded in Scripture and already decided in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Bottom line, tithing is God's command that you bring 10% of your income into God's house. Now, this is an important part, and I want you to underline it if you're playing along at home, okay? Tithing is God's command that you bring 10% of your income into God's house. Here it is. For the day in and day out running of God's house. Tithing is not just a notion of generic giving. It's not just religious giving. It's very specific and distinguished in Scripture. Tithing is the 10% that God calls you to give, not to missionaries or to charities or to, you know, whatever. It is 10% that God specifically calls you to bring to His house for the day in and day out running of His house. And remember that point, because we're going to need it. We're going to see it later on in our sermon. Bottom line, but however, please note, bringing 10% to God's house is merely the what of tithing. If we listen to Scripture, it will also tell us the why of tithing. And this is something probably that you should have heard many, many times, but maybe if you're kind of new, you didn't. Okay? So why does God call us to tithe? Well, why does God call us to tithe? Well, first, there are three reasons. The first reason that God calls us to tithe is because tithing locates us within creation. You're like, wait a minute, what? None of this stuff. If you get $100, God's going to give you $1,000. None of this stuff, none of that stuff. No, the reason God's calling you to tithe, the first reason is that tithing locates you within the rhythms and the essentials of creation. That is, tithing reflects the very essence of existence on this earth. In other words, tithing is not some arbitrary law, nor is it merely part of the Old Testament system, and therefore of no concern to God's people today. If you've heard that before, right? You know, tithing's just in the law, and that's just Old Testament. We don't have to do that anymore. And if that's where kind of you are, or you've heard that, or you know people that did, in the footnote, I will break that down. It does not go well for you or that argument. Okay, but I'll break that down in the footnote. But for now, just remember that tithing is not something that originated in the law, but rather tithing is a creational mandate. It is something that God had in place that was woven into the very dynamics of who man is and how he is to live and what this life is about as God's creature living in God's creation. Okay, it is fundamental to who we are as men living in this creation. So notice this, not Old Testament stuff or arbitrary or a cash grab. Rather, the principles behind tithing are woven into the very fabrics of life and creation. What are you talking about, Father Charlie? Well, notice, tithing reminds us first and foremost that God is the provider of all that we have. That is, tithing reminds us that all that we have is from God. So how does creation the account of creation begin? Not only that, how does your Bible begin? In the beginning, God created. Everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we have, everything that we encounter, everything is from God. And so right away, we are fundamentally oriented in the fundamental nature of life and existence. It is from God. Right? Listen to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29:14. This is David praying. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? Here's the point I want you to hear. For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. In other words, what we give to you, we first received from you, every bit of it. So tithing reminds us of this essential life principle that everything we are, have, and do is from God. Second, tithing reminds us that God is the ruler of all life and creation. Therefore, everything we have is not only from God, but everything we have is also for God. That is, everything we have and do is to serve God according to His will. So, how does creation begin? In the beginning, God, right? How does the account of creation end? God finished His work on the seventh and He rested, and God sanctified. He set apart. He made holy unto Himself the Sabbath day. And so, notice the flow of creation. It begins and ends with God. Everything flows from God. Everything proceeds facing towards God. And not only that, God didn't just tell us this. He organized man's work week, man's life on this earth as a reflection and based on His. We aren't just hanging out on His property. Instead, what we do is to reflect. What we do is to serve. We are in all that we do, whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, glorify God. In everything that we do, we are to seek and serve God's will and God's purpose with what is His. Tithing reminds us that everything we are, have, and do is from God. Everything we are, have, and do is for God. It is to serve God. And so tithing is indicative, right? It's a representative 10%. It indicates to us that the whole week that we have been laboring in God's creation, okay? We have been serving Him. And now we come to His house with a representative portion, offering it to God. Because why? The whole of our week has been spent seeking God's will, serving Him, seeking first His kingdom, and in all things, first priority, His priority. Finally, tithing reminds us that God is exalted and is the majestic Lord, and therefore is to be honored with the first and best of what we have. We're not to bring God what's left over. We're not to bring God just a tip that doesn't interfere with what we want or what our priorities are. Instead, God is the exalted Lord of all creation. He's to be honored with the first and best of what we have. Listen to Exodus 23:19. You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. In fact, the first encounter that you have kind of with this notion of tithing is what? When the whole reason that Cain was upset with Abel is because, remember, Abel was bringing the choice and the best that he had to serve God, and Cain was cutting corners and serving himself first. And God called him out, and Cain got mad and took Abel out, right? That's why. And so we are commanded that our attitudes, so right away, not only are you oriented in who you are and where you are, but you're also reminded of how you are. God is to be our first love. Seeking first His kingdom means that in everything we do, His will, His plan, His glory are our first obligation. We aren't bringing to God what's left over. We aren't showing up to His house when we don't have anything better to do. We are honoring God with our first and our best. Bottom line, tithing underscores the essential nature of existence. It reminds man of both the source and the first obligation of all life. Now, here's the important part. And then tithing prompts us to act on that first obligation with the very sustenance of life. right? It's not just sitting around at church talking Bible smack. It's not just talking with your Lutheran buddies and Baptist buddies over there by the water cooler at work, okay? God asks you a fundamental question every week. Who do you trust? Where is your confidence? And then he prompts you to act on that with everything on the line, with the very sustenance of your life. Tithing is locating, grounding us, and then calling us to align with the very essence of God's creation and living in it as God's creature. Second, the second thing is, why does God call us to tithe? Tithing, not only that, tithing locates us within recreation. That is, it's going to do the same thing regarding salvation as it has done with the fundamental nature of existence and creation. Tithing reflects the very dynamics of the gospel and the new life that God has provided. You're like, okay, oh, seriously, how are you going to pull this off? No, just listen, it's true, listen. Notice then, when we look at tithing and when we look at the gospel, what we find is it's the same dynamics that define the very heart or essence of the gospel are reflected in and reinforced by the very dynamics of tithing. It is one of those ways, over and again, that God has given to show you the very heart of the gospel and to draw and get you to engage that, reinforcing and renewing and refocusing you. And so tithing is just but one way that God is preaching the gospel to you. Think about how we've ripped ourselves off. If we're talking about tithing as if it was a spiritual money grab. So the basic message of tithing is this. Hey, brothers and sisters, you come in here, you know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And if you come in here and you give $100, you know, the Lord's going to take that and he's going to give you $1,000 or $10,000. Glenn, would you love to have $10,000 extra dollars? I know you'd love to have $10,000 extra dollars. So you come in here and you just give and the Lord is going to bless. Okay, tithing is not a Ponzi scheme. It is not a speculative spiritual investment. Nowhere in Scripture does God ever say, let the church be materialistic so-and-sos first. Let them be worldly. Let them put their confidence in wealth and all this so they can build monuments to themselves. And if you'll do that, let them be materialistic, then I will let you be twice the materialistic so-and-so as when I found you. That is never the message. Now, God does say, if you are faithful in what he's already put in your hands, that he'll entrust other things into your hands. But that faithfulness and that blessing are always defined, not worldly, but theocentrically. And I want you to think about what we've missed as we hear about how, I mean, there's something going on right now where churches, it's getting uncovered that a lot of these big churches were being paid by political groups from wherever to make sure that they mentioned this in their sermon, to make sure that they, and it was these sound bites. And that is, you think it was bad? I mean, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know what the price going for Jesus today is at the mega churches, but they're selling them out. Not all of them, but some of them, okay? Think about the difference that we could have had if we stopped making it a money grab and just listen to what Scripture actually says it is. Tithing grounds us in the very basis of the gospel. So how? Well, think about it. First of all, the message of Scripture, the message of the gospel is that God always goes first. That is, God always takes the initiative with his people. What's the heart of the gospel? That we are saved by grace. It is not what we've done. It's not our initiatives or our merit or our work. We are saved by grace. And this is love, Scripture says. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and took the initiative and sent his son. And what's true in the origins, in the very basis of your Christian life, is true throughout. The grace that saves you is the grace that changes you. God is the one, Scripture says, that gives you both the will and the ability to do. He's changing your heart. It always, God, you never pray alone. God is always there prompting you. God is always assisting your prayers with groanings too deep for words. God always takes the initiative. That's the heart of the gospel. God alone is Savior. Well, notice then, when we turn to tithing, what we find is that with tithing, we are called to tithe the blessing, ready, that God has already put in our hands, right? Again, 1 Chronicles, let's go back to that. For all things come from thee and from thy hand, which you've already given us. That's how we're able to give to you. God always takes the initiative. God always goes first. And this is so important. Why? Because God does not call us to tithe what we hope to one day have. God does not call us to tithe in hopes that God will provide in the future. Rather, we tithe the blessings that God has already given us. Tithing is risk-free giving. And again, we're so dramatic. And I have a good friend. And I'm going to call him Roger, but that's not his name. But anyway, and Roger and I are real good friends. But I remember a long time ago, Roger comes and he goes, yeah, you know, I just got convicted. And, we had a sermon on tithing, and I just need to tithe. And so, man, pray for us. I'm stepping out in faith that God is really going to provide for us. This is scary. It is. It's scary. Baby steps. It's scary. Weaning yourself off of a false security onto a true security, that can be scary. And so, but he's like, pray for us because we're really stepping out in faith that God will provide. And he's looking at me like, for me to go, oh, that's, I praise the Lord, I'm praying. I was like, you're a moron. And he was like, look, shocked and hurt and stunned at once. I said, you're a complete moron. He was like, what? I said, tell me what tithing is. He says, you're giving 10% of your income. I said, okay, how do you know what that 10% is? I mean, you can't just write a check out and says 10%. How do you calculate the dollar amount of that 10%? And now he's looking insulted. He's like, you take your income, what you've earned, what you have, and you get 10% of that. And I was like, oh, so what you're telling me is that you're tithing 10% of what you already have. You're tithing 10% of what God has already given you. Because as I see it, the drama isn't with God, it's with you. The uncertainty, God has already been faithful. God has already blessed. God has already shown that he is faithful. And what we're all waiting for is you. That's the uncertainty. It's not speculative. It's not in hopes of what God is going to one day do. God went first, just like in the gospel, and he calls you to respond with faithfulness. Which brings us to our second point. By going first, God's grace always equips and enables us to take an active part in the things of God. Think about this. The grace that saves you is a grace that really changes you. Why? So that you can actively participate truly and actually in the relationship in the kingdom which Christ has accomplished for you. God's grace always equips and enables you to take an active part. And notice that when we look at tithing, what we find is that with tithing, God's provision equips and enables us to actively bless what God is blessing. It's the same dynamic. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Here's the part I want you to hear. Who comforts us in all our afflictions. Who went first? Who's the God of mercy and comfort? God, right? Who comforts us in all of our afflictions. But listen to why, and we don't have to guess because Scripture tells us point blank. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able, listen to me, we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, here it comes, with the comfort which we ourselves receive from God. God has put into your hands and into your family's hand provision, care, and blessing. And he's entrusted you so that now you can take an active part in blessing, in prioritizing, in seeking what he seeks, what he blesses, where God's hand is at work. He gives that to us just like spiritual gifts, just like grace, just like walking us through something so that we can then turn around and with the blessing that God has provided, enable us to be a blessing. Let me give you a quick story and then we got to move on because we're almost done. When I was a kid,
my mom and dad used to take, or dad would, he would take us to the mall when we were little. And we didn't have cars or any money or anything like that. And so he would give us $5 and so that we could go Christmas shopping. All right? And so we would go Christmas shopping. And then we would buy, you know, mom and dad presents. So, and it's, they didn't have to give us $5 because they really needed that light up tie that said dad or world's greatest mom or I'm not really sick of all of y'all. I just haven't had my coffee yet, coffee mug. All right, they didn't need that. They could have gotten that anyway. They gave it to us because there are two vital important things that you have to know as a human being. One is that you are loved. And number two is that you can love. We give our children chores because they have something worth giving and therefore they're expected to contribute. It's not just free labor. It's they have something we're expecting. Okay? And so it gave an opportunity for our little personalities to have the joy of being a part of giving. Okay? It's the same thing with God's grace. He doesn't need you to accomplish it. He blesses you with the ability to be a part of what he's doing. And tithing is at the very heart of that, or a very big part of that. Anyway, let's go on. All right, finally, tithing locates us within our relationship with God. That is, tithing reflects the very heart of God towards us. Why are we tithing? It grounds us in the reality of creation. It reflects and refocuses us on the nature of the gospel. And now it's locating us in our relationship with God, reflecting his heart. Listen to Deuteronomy 12:6. And you shall bring to the Lord's house your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithe. Now listen to this. Here's why. And you and your household shall eat there before the Lord your God. Notice at once the original setting of the tithe was the family meal, eaten before God, in fellowship with God, in the presence of God. And this is so incredibly important because the setting of a family meal underscores the purpose of tithing. And simply put, tithing is for you. It is not for God. Tithing is not a cash grab. Tithing is not God going, hey man, can you spot me a hundred till payday? Okay, listen to what God says to you. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. You'd be the last person I'd tell. Why? Because the world is mine and all that it contains. Anything that you would bring, I already own. It's all from me. Right? It's not a cash grab. In other words, you are the beneficiary of tithing, not God. All right. Notice in what the picture in Deuteronomy shows us. God is the landowner. Okay. The earth is his and all it contains. He's provided the vineyard, the seed, the tools for the workers. We want to be specific. The very breath and heartbeat of those workers. In modern terms, God has put up the entire capital investment. The risk, the investment are 100% all his. However, notice at harvest, he then puts 90% of the take into your hands to administer faithfully. So forget this notion that 10% belongs to God, 90% is yours. Nonsense. 100% is God's. 10% he calls you to bring to his house faithfully. 90% he gives to you as a steward to administer faithfully. It's all his though. But he puts 90% of the take in your hands to administer faithfully. He then takes the 10%, his cut, his entire cut, that he requires you to bring to his house, and he throws a lavish feast for you and his workers. In other words, God takes your tithes and your offerings and invests it in your spiritual nurture, your spiritual investment. He spends it all on you. And that's not a metaphor. That's not sentimental. That's absolutely true. So today, when you come to God's house, just like last week and the week before, God has taken your tithes and offerings and he spent them on you so that he can buy bread and wine to throw for you the most lavish feast that's ever been known, that you will eat in the presence and in the fellowship of God with the household of God. Okay? God takes that tithe that you bring in and he spends it
to buy Sunday school material for our children, right? To make sure that if the air conditioning and heat work so that you're not distracted in worship by being too hot or too cold. God takes all of that and he spends it on you, on what is the most important thing in your life, in your family's life, in your kids' life. He spends it on your spiritual well-being. It's for you. It's not for him. And he gives you a part in prioritizing your walk and the walk of everyone sitting around you. That's what he's calling you to do. Let your heartbeat beat in sync with God's. And tithing is one of the ways that God gives us to concretely do that. Bottom line, when I tithe, I am participating in the essential nature of creation, the fundamental rhythms of the gospel, and the very heart of God's love. As such, tithing is never merely a matter of finance. Instead, tithing is always an act of worship, thanksgiving, and renewal. Now, go home and prayerfully, in a conversation with God, fill out your tithe card. It's between you and God. I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. It's you and God. Amen?